Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, come all ye faithful, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Manchester United won the Manc Derby. Newcastle got another win. And big Duncan Ferguson grabbed a ball boy.
Of course, we've all done it. Haven't we?
Grabbed a ball boy.
No, won a Manchester Derby, Jim. Hey, my name's Marcus Bella. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Pete Donaldson's here. And back once again, like the renegade master, it's Luke Aaron Moore.
Well, thanks. That's a big intro.
Full name. Giving you a dated reference.
I know.
As well.
But that's what we
rather
expect.
Rather fitting. We are dated references ourselves.
But I like to think that the listeners like that. I find that affectionate. They've got a lot of affection for the fact that we've been doing the show since 1972. And a lot of our references will be like that.
Exactly. When the master went relegated, of course. But Luke Moore's back.
I am back. Thanks
He's
for having
beaming.
Me back.
Did you have a good time in the States?
Yeah. I was actually securing a sponsorship deal with Amazon. Which you guys have now scuppered, so it was a wasted journey. No, I had a great time. Thanks. Thank you very much for indulging my holiday at this time of year, and I'm pleased to be back.
Hey, I found it quite interesting because you were in the States longer than we were, of course, when we did the Ramble Tour. How come your solo tour was more popular than ours? I just suppose that's the way it goes, really.
They actually thought it was me, Pete Donaldson, solo tour.
Oh, yeah. I see.
And, different visa reasons, I actually had to go deputise. You know when you have like an understudy at a theatre production?
Yeah.
So I went over and did that. They were very disappointed.
Who knew who was going to make it big in Black Flag?
It's true. No one knew.
Who would open for Peter? Arthur Brown. Crazy World of Arthur Brown.
Yeah, I'll open for Pete. I don't mind. I'm not proud.
Yeah. Well, we're all in it together right now.
Yes.
Just like Manchester United were.
We're moving Britain forward.
Trying to, this week especially.
Yeah.
Our four votes count.
Yeah.
But Manchester United, they beat Manchester City 2-1 at the Etihad. Even Roy Keane was happy with the performance.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd live to see the day.
So we should have been.
They were excellent. They were so, so good. Maybe it is something about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in December specifically that makes them play that way.
They're going to go on a run.
He loves the weather. He loves a crisp winter's day.
Maybe because he's the nostalgia king, then this is now a sort of nostalgic period based on last year.
Yes. I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson in the crowd smiling, remember the nostalgia.
Yeah.
It really was all sort of written.
They were so much better than City.
Yes.
It was really surprising.
Well, City had all the ball, but Manchester United just had so much more intensity, and they look really shaky at the back. I know they've got injuries and I know they've had to change personnel, but
Stones
they just look worried.
Stones and Fernandinho, you know, it's
Fernandinho.
Exactly.
Fernandinho.
Hiya!
Yeah.
Shout out to my little friend!
Is that a Japanese Al Pacino in Scarlet?
Yeah.
Just a man who just refuses to use consonants.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Holiday.
Sorry, Marcus, you were talking about Fornaginu.
I'm just intrigued why you went for that Al Pacino film. We could have done something from The Irishman.
Could have done. Get
nice
out.
Nice to meet you, even though it's over the phone.
Oi, we're only doing references on the Monday show because we're all so old.
Pre-80s.
I would say 95 and behind.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing more modern than that. Right. And anyone listening, don't like it, can fuck off.
Yeah.
This is my truth, tell me yours. What's that album, Future Boy?
Yeah. Everything Must Go. What are you talking about?
When was that? That was 94, wasn't it?
I think...
Everything Must Go is 96.
I think you've gone over 95 there. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's not happened yet, so we're not... We don't.
Anyway, yeah. You don't like it. So the Mannix are still good, then?
You don't like it, you can fuck off down the Trocadero.
Yeah. How do I know Pete works for Absolute Radio? He just called Manic Street Preachers the Mannix.
The boys.
The boys.
All right, all right.
The boys.
Anyway, that's
seen
that's
the
Manchester United. Look, Manchester
that's the
United.
Most of Derby done. What's next?
They love it when a plan comes together.
They do.
That's what I'm saying. To use modern references, but yeah, it was a brilliant win. Solskjaer picking up wins. I think somebody, there was a tweet going around saying that Solskjaer is the first coach and presumably only coach because it's clearly not happened since that win, has beaten Mourinho and Guardiola in the same week.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Wow.
What a feat,
well,
Jim.
I mean, a lot of managers won't have the opportunity to do that due to the peculiarities of the fixture.
Indeed. Yeah. It's a bit of a weird one.
Well, you can only beat what's put in front of you.
And he has. Yes. But I think the thing that surprised me most was as Pete says, the sort of energy of the performance and how they were on the front foot. They looked like the home team. They really did.
They could have scored a few more goals in the first half. And I don't think Martial should have put that wall away because the keeper was just, it was his near post.
I was surprised at Edison, he's such a quality keeper.
Yeah.
I'd be a bit more sympathetic to him than, I understand your point entirely, but I would be a bit more sympathetic to him than that. Minimum backlift, didn't really expect it. Mm. It shaved the post, it was right in the corner.
Yeah. Well, I suppose you're nitpicking really. I mean, you're not saying it's a howler or anything.
But I think it's a testament to Edison how good he normally is that he's saying that. But I found. I mean, a couple of points from me on this. One is that I think I might get in a bit of trouble for saying this, but on the other hand, I don't care, so it's fine. I think probably Wan-Bissaka is probably England's best right back defensively.
Could improve, and he's a young man. His positioning was better there, but if you ask those who sort of watch Manchester United quite keenly, more keenly than anyone in this room, bless them, then. Wan-Bissaka, he's great in the tackle. Fantastic.
I think as a one-on-one defender.
What a great pace, but his positioning, it's improving, but his positioning is an area.
Would you say his position is better than Trent?
Well, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking to myself, but yeah, the other right. But I think if he can play more like that and have more sort of standout performances, but it's difficult for him because I know they've had two wins recently, but they've not had the best of seasons, it's fair to say. He may get overlooked for England come the summer.
Fullbacks aren't judging their defensive prowess.
Not these
anymore,
days, which is
know?
A shame. For me...
But he goes into the pot, though, doesn't he? The fullback pot.
Let me. Yeah, absolutely. And what a pot it is, by the way. Massive.
Absolutely.
Probably
stuffed.
In the middle of the room.
Full to the brim.
Full of fullbacks. Mm. Who would be stirring the pot? Oh, it's Gareth. Oh, anyway, I think, and this is the bit I wondered if I was going to get in trouble with, you particularly for Marcus, and perhaps the other guys as well. Mm-hmm. He reminds me a bit of Ashley Cole defensively. He's very, very good one-on-one.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's another fullback in the Premier League that's as good as him on that. And the second thing I was going to say, just my second point, just to get it over with, is that Man United showed in this game that with fast counter-attacking and confidence, this Man City team this season can massively, and I do mean massively, be got at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is coming to the stage now. I don't want to be overreacting about it, but I've read a couple of things this morning. And
Guardiola's a busted flash.
Heard a few things on the jungle drums that Pep Guardiola is a massive fraud. No, is that we might be witnessing the embers now, the dying embers of the Guardiola regime, as you guys were intimating over last week.
Guardiola himself said that we have to accept that City can't compete with some of the top teams, and that was kind of phrased as one of those kind of quite clickbaity headlines that made it look like he was saying they couldn't afford to keep up when it wasn't that at all. It actually seemed like a quite bare, stark moment of reflection where he was going, well, maybe we just have to look at ourselves and say, well, we are not as good as these teams this season. And again,
he says these teams, he means Liverpool.
Well, he even said Man United, and he mentions, you know, European clubs as well, like your Barcelona's, your Real Madrid's, and your club Bruges. And And it was really interesting, but I suppose, you know, it could well be the end of a cycle, couldn't it? Because, you know, doing that three seasons in a row,
it's very intense.
It's going to be so hard. And it is intense, isn't it? It's intense on the players. And also with the really unfortunate injury to Laporte and not having enough to back that up is
just
unraveled.
Which is ridiculous for a club like Manchester City.
It is, isn't it? I mean, they're so far off the pace now that you would think, you know.
Well,
it's
down to a two-horse race.
Absolutely. And one of those horses is mental, and I love it.
One of those horses is on the verge of winning it.
One of those horses is doing all key. Yeah. But Manchester City, yeah, it could be the end of the sort of the cycle of this team. Although, when people say in the cycle, I mean, they've got a lot of young players in there. I think, you remember what the Bayern players said when Guardiola left? They were like, bloody hell, it's nice to be able to catch your breath. When he went. But then Ancelotti came in. I think, you know, Andy Brassel or Jonathan Wilson said this on the Continent previously. Ancelotti came in and the Bayern players were a bit like, hang on, this is too easy, actually.
Well, it's interesting you say that, actually, because Mark Langdon, who deputised on OTC on Thursday.
That's right, yeah.
He said that about Napoli as well.
Oh, okay.
He said that that they were really pleased to
have... I've got it from him.
Ancelotti came in after Sarri at Napoli.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, that's brilliant. Now we can actually have a bit of a laugh. And then now they're like, oh, this is a bit shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do think that's... You've hit on something there. He works them really hard. But I just think if you've got the confidence to go at them and let... As Pete rightly said earlier, City had a lot of the ball. United didn't seem that bothered about that.
No.
They had the confidence to start really early and start really fast. And City couldn't really deal with it. And it feels to me a bit like when you crack through the surface of this City team, i.e. they're very quite strong first 11, as you've intimated, Jim, with Laporte, for example, missing out through injury, just looks completely different. I mean, Stones doesn't look anywhere near the same defender with Fernandinho alongside him. Mm-hmm. Fernandinho shouldn't be playing there anyway, in my opinion. And then their fullbacks. I mean, for example, the left back situation at City in microcosm. How many players have they played there? Well, Angelino played there at the weekend. Mendy's played there.
Zinchenko.
I think they might have used four left backs.
James Milner.
Probably, yeah. I'll bury you for a day, James. So, anyway, there's a lot of issues there. But, of course, we should probably point out that they've won what? Last five trophies or something like that?
You don't want to overreact because bearing in mind, I know they're 6 points off Leicester, but Liverpool are just phenomenal this season. So that is a bit of an anomaly.
Would you say that Man City's focus is the Champions League this season?
Well, it should be now.
It should be now, yeah.
That's
absolutely.
What
I mean, it has to be now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, they could still end the season with a couple of trophies, for crying out loud. You know, again, you don't want to judge them too harshly. And is it the end of the sort of cycle of this team? Who knows? In the summer or even in January, they could go in, they could get a centre-half. You know, you get a few, one or two faces in, it freshens up the place.
But yeah, they'll almost certainly sign someone in January. But I mean, this could be a huge psychological blow, though, isn't it? The nature of it, losing at home to Man United like that when they're in such a sort of moment. I have to say, obviously, he's got a lot of plaudits this morning, but Marcus Rashford he has stepped up. Like we were talking about whether he could fill the shoes of Lukaku because they're quite different players, but he is clearly the focal point now, and he's relishing it. And it's really, really good to see him sort of kick on. Like that.
I think his improvement's been massive. Yeah. I remember saying maybe last season or maybe. Yeah, towards the end of last season, it was too early to expect to be able to rest on the shoulders of that player, the forward line of a club as big as Man United. To be fair to him, he's done a pretty good job proving me wrong. He's improved a great deal. But just one final point on Man City. I think in the middle of December last season, so around this time last season, after 17 games, they had 44 points and they were top of the league by 2 points. But Liverpool had a game in hand. City have played 16 and on 32 points, so they've dropped off to the tune of about 9-ish points.
That's huge.
Which is, I mean, given that Liverpool have improved again, that shows you the difference, basically.
But, and also, Luke, given that not many of the other sides other than Leicester have improved, particularly a very poor Arsenal side. You know, Spurs have had their problems. Chelsea are doing okay.
It's like a 10-point drop-off from last season.
Well, yeah, so it is quite bad.
Arsenal dropped off, I think, almost 15 points.
Oh, yeah. We'll come on to them, I'm sure.
Will we? Do we have to?
No, we won't. Oh, fine, brilliant.
Jim,
yeah, great. Let's not talk about
it. You don't
have
to do that.
I've given you the day off, for crying out loud. You don't need to come in.
Yeah. Can I just say about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
Well, I'm going to say.
Go on.
Can Solskjaer build something, or is this another flash in the pan result, Jim?
Well, if I'm being completely honest, I imagine we would all think this probably is another flash in the pan, isn't it? I mean,
there's a few flashes in those
although,
pans.
Actually, I have to say, I do admire the fact that United seem very intent on sticking with him and actually letting him build something. Because obviously we're all expecting him to maybe even have been sacked by now, but the noises coming out of the club have always been speculation about him. It's just nonsense. Like we're committed to a long project with him. Maybe it's just they feel they need to do that at some point, and because he understands where they want to be and understands the club, they've just decided to allow him certain sort of teething problems. But I'd be very surprised if he turns them into title winners anytime soon. What I was going to say was I enjoyed what he said after the game, because Solskjaer, he sounds surprised often, doesn't he, when he's talking about United. I think it's just the tone of his voice. But he sounds like he's talking about them as a fan rather than someone who actually has, you know, like an influence on what they're like. He said, yeah, we've got a cute shape about us. It's like... And then firstly, what does that mean?
And then he went, give it Giggsy. Give it Giggsy. But I'd like to see, I mean, United's record under Solskjaer against the bigger teams is not too bad at all. And so, I mean, if I was a United fan, I'd be thinking, can we please play with that verve and confidence every single week? Because if you're going to level something at Solskjaer that he's not very good tactically, or as a pundit said over the weekend, I forget which one, he doesn't have the class to manage Man United and the experience. And that's a viewpoint I think on its face I'm quite sympathetic to. What he can do is actually go out there and get them to play this kind of thunder and lightning football that they were known for in the 90s, where they just batter teams.
Yeah.
Just do that. Move the ball quick and you might lose a couple of games 4-3. But to be honest, Ferguson's teams did that.
Yeah.
So you might find that they get a little bit more joy that way.
Yeah. Very, very regrettable. Of course, there was an alleged racist incident which is being investigated, and a man has been arrested at the ground.
Yeah.
Moron.
Yeah. And obviously, people were quick to kind of condemn this as they should do. And also on the weekend in League Two, Forest Green versus Scunthorpe, the game was stopped after an alleged racist incident in the crowd, and a lifetime ban could be handed out to that individual if found guilty. So,
can I just also add to that? There was a guy ejected. A Burnley fan was ejected against Spurs for racially abusing Son Heung-min, allegedly, as well.
Right.
So it's almost as if there's an election this week certain people aren't showing the leadership they should.
As Gary Neville mentioned.
I side with Gary Neville. With Gary.
I think we all very much side with Gary Neville on that particular point. I mean, it's horrendous and all the rest of it. But the reaction, though, interesting in that League Two game, the game was stopped. I'm sort of quite pleased that these measures are sort of being taken now.
Because but also I think with the Man City and obviously the Spurs one, like these are all reported from the sofa effectively because they managed to get caught on television. They should be overseers. These clubs have a duty of care to their players. And there should be an overseer who is just constantly watching CCTV and can make like proactive action.
Or Pete, pay your stewards properly.
The problem is
you've got a steward there right on the camera line. Look, if you're going to give the steward the absolute benefit of the doubt, we can't see the steward from the front, so we don't know which way he's looking.
Exactly,
and it was a very quick incident. We've all seen it. We all know what happened. But the problem, I think, is, and this has happened over and over again, it's certainly happened in my experience of going to games. I said it to you when Portsmouth played Sunderland in the Checker Trade Trophy.
Right,
At Wembley, for big finals, they have these extra kind of security guys. I'm fairly certain they happen at Premier League games, but there has to be a chain of command. Mm. And the problem is the stewards are paid minimum wage to go there. And a lot of them are just students.
They're
really.
Just kids. But yeah, I did
and there's enough money in
like,
football, isn't there, to pay them properly, to have it stewarded properly. Mm. But and I know this is not going to eradicate the problem of racism, but what it is going to do is is give people a better chance of being able to deal with it more swiftly. And I'd like to see that improved at the very least.
Well, it refuses to tolerate it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Clubs are effectively allowed to sort of kick it down the road, or even just blame it on... Which is a valid response, I think, to the fact that, you know, when our political class aren't being anti-Semitic, they're talking like 18th century colonialists. It's all very well to sort of go to societal problem. Yeah, but you've got a duty of care to your own players, so have somebody watching this sort of thing 24/7.
Yeah, you can't just a societal problem, so what can we do? Well, football has its own gateway, and it can police that. All right, let's move on to Everton 3, Chelsea 1. Big Duncan Ferguson was jubilant on the sidelines.
If I could pick a club legend somehow in the knowledge that it would work out, For a Premier League club that wasn't my own, big dunk at Everton would be so high on that list.
You've ruined my chance of chucking Freddie Ljungberg in there. Yeah. But I agree.
Isn't this exactly how Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got a job?
Well, quite.
And this is where
But Duncan Ferguson, I think, actually, he's kind of distancing himself from the job.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably
he was before the match.
but also, after as well. But I think that's quite wise, because if you think about what happened, we think of John Carver, who had a long-time job at Newcastle, and some of these first-team coaches, and they're there. They're involved in the club that they love. And then they take the first-team job, and of course it doesn't work out very well, and then they're sacked. it's very difficult for them to return to a first team coaching role. Mm. And so actually, then they're sort of out of the club, and where do they go? Whereas actually, Duncan Ferguson, I would imagine he would probably think, do you know what? I love this club. I love working for this club. I have an influence, not the the main influence, but I have an influence. It's been great to just jump in there as caretaker. But actually, looking at the bigger picture, you know, he probably lives in the, he will live in the area. He loves going to work there. Why would you then take the first team manager role, which will last the end of the season at best, maybe the end of the season after at best?
Oh, let me have it.
And then he's gone. And then it's kind of, all right, well, but where are you going to work now?
I think the difference between, so I think they're all fair points, but the difference between Duncan and perhaps Solskjaer and even Ljungberg, is that Duncan Ferguson has been at Everton on and off for like 15 years. He loves the club. Yeah. He's coached there for five years as well. And so he's a natural fit, isn't he, for a caretaker manager? I think the only thing I could probably add to what you're saying, Marcus, is maybe if he does get to the end of the season and then he's able to move into the background again when they bring a new manager, then that's probably a solution that might suit everyone. Yeah. But what I would say is, I mean, at the risk of sounding like a bit of a kind of, not a Little England there, but a kind of old-fashioned type football watcher, there's a lot to be said for, you know, teams working really hard their thing. And I don't agree with a lot of things that Graham Souness says necessarily, but one thing he did say fairly recently is, when he was punditing, you can talk about shape and tactics all you want, but if you're not first to the ball, you're not first to tackle, you're not warmed up and ready to go, you're not going to win anyway. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong, particularly in the light of the last coach being Marco Silva, to have this thing. I know you're going to chuck this stat out about how many tackles they made and all the rest of it, and rightly so. That's going back to base is not a bad thing.
Of course.
With the players Everton have got, they will probably win more games than they lose doing that.
Yeah. Well, they should do. Yeah.
With the quality of the squad, as long as they get back to basics, and a lot of clubs, you know, my own included, could do with following that lesson. But the squad's set up for that, and it is amazing what a difference it makes because they worked so hard, and there was some. I really loved Calvert-Lewin's second goal in particular because he refused to let that chance get away, and that was exactly what Everton weren't doing up to now. They were just passive and they were listless, just passengers in their own games. But they set the agenda here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is a problem for a manager when it goes a little bit sour or the players aren't playing for them.
And it's not just Everton, is it?
Like, no, West Ham would be the example. It happens all the time, and it happens in far worse and stark sort of examples and situations. I mean, you know, the Everton players did put a shift in against Leicester. I mean, they were beaten heavily by Liverpool, but you know, that's Liverpool away. But yeah, they made 37 tackles during the match, which was more than any other team in the league this season and more than any Everton side in the Prem in the last 10 years, which goes to show. And Ferguson talked about playing 4-4-2, which they did. And he said, look, that's my default setting. And that's the thing. He came in there and he said, we can't, what did he say? Something like, we can't play pretty triangles. We didn't have enough time to work with the players. So you go, right, basics.
Yeah.
Two banks of four. Win every tackle, win every header, blah, 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 blah. And they've beaten a decent Chelsea side, 3-1. I know Lampard said, you know, it's not good enough from them. And of course he will say that because Chelsea have been very good and they'll be disappointed with the way they played there. But Calvert-Lewin had a great game. And Calvert-Lewin, I mean, you imagine Duncan Ferguson grabbing him and saying, right, this is what you want to do.
I can imagine grabbing him,
Well, he grabbed a lot of people.
He's very grabby. Stephen on the emails reminded us that one of his assault convictions was performed while wearing a woman's earring, a flower behind his ear, and wearing sunglasses in Fife in November.
Terrifying.
Wow.
And Duncan Ferguson's got a bit of the Jesse Pinkman about him. Those of you who watch Breaking Bad, as far as he can do quite a lot of like reprehensible things.
And people still
but
like
you still
him.
Like him. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He's harder than Pinkman.
Yes. Doesn't get beaten up as much.
I would love to get a bear hug.
Body count is higher.
Yeah.
I'd love to get a bear hug from Big Dunk.
Would you? I think we should make that happen.
You're walking away from that?
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Game recognises the game, Jim.
Marcus has got a lot of pedigree when it comes to bear hugs.
Thanks very much.
But I also, to add into the mix the points you're making, Marcus, as well, with this kind of 37 tackles, doing this, doing that, it's almost like the perfect strategy against that Chelsea side when you're at home, chiefly because Chelsea have got a spine of players who, or at least a handful of players who are quite inexperienced, who need to really be shown what it's like to play away in the Premier League and how hard it can be. If you look at Abraham, Mount, Reece James, even Christensen, even Kepa, even Pulisic, six or seven players there who don't have a huge amount of experience and aren't players that you think are big, strong kind of experienced guys. Right. So if you can get right amongst it, I don't want to sound sort of too reductionist again, but I mean, it is a part of the game. It's, you know, you can be as open-minded as you want about all these different formations and tactics and stuff, but you shouldn't be so open-minded that your brain falls out. You know, you've got to understand that you've got to go back to basics sometimes, and that's what he's done. Would it work long-term?
No.
Probably not. Same way Solskjaer probably won't. But at the moment, they can enjoy the win, can't they?
They can, and they certainly did, as they should do. But you're right, it's not a long-term sort of thing, playing, you know, basics, blah, blah, blah. But in the short term, that's absolutely fine. And also, as you say, some of those Chelsea players or any players in the league who play for generally better sides who sort of keep the ball what used to be called a more continental style, every now and then when they came up against a bit of steel, it sometimes shocks them. Sometimes, and I'm not saying that's the ace card up the sleeve to play like that, because as you say, playing like that hasn't won a team the Premier League probably since Dalglish's Blackburn Rovers.
But big Dunk playing 4-4-2 with both his strikers scoring.
Beautiful.
He's loving it.
I'm into it. Chelsea
have to learn some lessons defensively very quickly.
Lampard said, didn't he? I mean, what they're struggling for at the moment, which you'd expect with an experienced manager and players, is completely just lack of consistency.
Well, they can sign players in January now, can't they? So they'll probably try and make an improvement there.
Yeah. Tammy and Mason, it was lovely while we had you.
Mason Mann getting a lot of stick for some Chelsea fans on Twitter. Really? Twitter in it. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Carry on.
What's his Reddit page saying?
Don't go on Reddit, as you well know.
let's end the first half talking about Tottenham 5, Burnley 0. Oh. More specifically, Son, with a strong contender for goal of the season. He'd been awarded the Asian International Player of the Year trophy before kickoff. And that obviously gave him a little extra spring in his boots.
Spurred him on. That was absolutely phenomenal. If that isn't the goal of the season, whatever is going to have to be something phenomenal. Like, do you think even Son knew how good that was until he saw it back? Because there's something about the aesthetic of the wake of pretty much an entire team just in his jet stream that was just magnificent.
That moment where he had about five or six defenders around him was sort of... It was. I'm sure if you took a photo at the right angle at the right thing, it would look like that Maradona one against Belgium.
Yeah,
and I know that photo is slightly misleading.
I think that photo
come out of a wall.
It's a breaking up of a wall. Yeah,
but still, though, I'm sure there's something.
There's
there.
One with either Xavi or Iniesta against Italy in the Euro final as well.
Oh, okay,
a lot of players around him.
Yeah, but the sudden sort of change of pace. When he just sort of motored through, and it was inevitable. When he kind of burst through that pack of players, you thought, hang on, please put this away.
Yeah.
Please put this away. There was one that Jovinho scored for Parma.
Great to hear him get a mention.
I know.
Yeah, there was when he was in
Last
Parma.
Last season, maybe?
Yeah.
Where he motored through, and he's just got the keeper to beat, and you're just thinking, please put this away. And he hits it, and it hits the post, but it goes in. Yeah. Because we were robbed of that Lucas Moura one, Rod Fanny, clearing it off the line.
Bloody Fanny.
Yes.
Marcus, this is very much your department, so I'll focus the question to you. Has any bunch of players needed more to take a yellow card?
in that
situation?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I hate it when, there's a turnover of play and players steam in because they want to take their yellow and stuff.
Yeah.
Why isn't anybody taking yellows there?
Yeah.
Cowards.
Because Dwight McNeil.
Because it could have been a red.
Burnley should be well drilled in that sort of thing.
But McNeil, I know he doesn't play in that position where he should be, kind of like breaking up play, but he absolutely wusses out. And then that just gives him carte blanche to just keep on running for me.
I mean, I think it can be both these. Before I get pelters for saying this from listeners for sort of not enjoying a brilliant goal, because it was a brilliant goal and I've got no problem with that at all, of course. It can be both those things. It can be a great goal and just abominable defending, which is what it was. I mean, the change of pace for me is the most impressive thing.
Yep.
For him to kind of, it was like half an hour into the game, he's just kind of warmed up and he's kind of, I'm having a bit of
this
now.
And to keep that pace as well.
With the control of the ball and the finish.
Magnificent.
But someone has got, this is the Premier League, someone's got to take him out.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of chat around finer minds, football minds than me, talking about whether that type of foul should actually be a red card, or there's even talk of sin binning and all the rest of it. At this point, it's a yellow, you take a yellow.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is the third goal.
Yeah.
You've already conceded two in the first 10 minutes. That's killed the game.
Yep.
But so also, you shouldn't be allowed to do it.
But also, I think when, obviously, teams now and players are so well drilled, they're sort of, every player on the field, they know what side of the foot they're, what foot they've got.
Yeah,
so show them on the right, show them on the left.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any weak feet. He's so two-footed, so he can go wherever.
Can I also say that goal is in microcosm. To me, the classic difference between this Spurs team now under Mourinho and what it became under Pochettino.
Yeah.
The amount of times I went to watch Spurs under Pochettino and they just wouldn't shoot. No. It was so deliberate.
Look at Kane's two goals. Two beauties, by the way. Yeah. Overshadowed by that goal.
Absolutely. They are so direct now, Spurs.
Yeah.
They are very, very direct. In a way that Solskjaer's United were against City. And that should be a source, at least in the short term, because we all know what happens with Mourinho long term. yeah. Spurs should get excited about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's the
he's for a season, not for life.
Exactly. He's very much just for Christmas.
They've got the squad to play for that, haven't they? But I have to say, do you think maybe McNeil doesn't make that challenge? Well, because he's like, oh well, there's five players chasing after him. That'll be fine.
Quite possibly.
It's like school kids bunching.
Yeah, it was bunching.
Ridiculous. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go for a quick break and talk more football after that.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Ramble Football Ramble Daily. How did we get on with the old four to score on the weekend?
Jim, you nailed one again, I think, although you had Vardy.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd have all picked that, wouldn't we?
It still counts. Pete rather ambitiously had Alan Saint-Maximin, which is quite a satisfying
name. He scored in midweek, didn't he?
With
a header, inexplicably. So
I had Pookie, who didn't score. Norwich did score first, but Alexander Tetti scored. And Marcus, you had Jimenez, which I think, again, is another solid shout, but that didn't come in.
Although Jimenez has let us down a few times.
I know, it's about time we
benched him.
Get rid of him. Pete, he won't score again.
Thanks for stepping into the Betway seat while I was away.
It's all right.
I thought you did it with aplomb.
Yeah. Cheers, mate.
You were excellent.
Well done, mate.
Now back on the bench.
Yeah.
Aston Villa, they lost to Leicester City 4-1. 8 league wins in a row for Leicester City.
Is it a club record, Marcus?
It is a club record.
Is it?
Yeah. In the top flight. Not one of those just, oh, it's just Premier League. No, in the top flight.
Brendan Rodgers as well. I have to say, I really love that he made reference to that in the post-match interview. And a lot of managers would do that, like, quite mealy-mouthed, like, oh, it's not about records and blah, blah, blah. But Rodgers has embraced that. It's like, I like that because it's a real positive for the club. Mm. It's something for the fans to get excited about and something for the team to be proud of. And he's just put that front and centre, and that's great. And, you know, the team that... they've taken a record from us from the 1962-63 season, and they were known as the Ice Kings, which sounds like a sort of first draft of Game of Thrones, doesn't it?
Yeah. But why were they known as that?
Because it was a particularly horrendous winter where a lot of games were called off because they were frozen, and they went something like 45 days between home games, and that was like that was like one of the sort of...
Is that why they went so long unbeaten?
Yeah. No, but they really thrived in this period where everyone was really struggling because it was so cold. But their groundsman was amazing or something, so they managed to get their pitch sort of actually functioning, and they came very close to winning the league, but they didn't.
Right.
But yeah, like, I love
I feel
that
might be the same this season.
Yeah. But incredible that they got that record, of course. And well, Jim, they're now 6 points above Manchester City.
Yeah.
They're still 8 behind Liverpool, of course. They have a better goal difference than Liverpool.
They do. Do you think Liverpool are going to drop 8 points all season? That's
probably
the thing. They don't look like they will, do they?
Probably not. But this Leicester side, though,
you see them in second place and you think, can they just keep in touching distance?
Yeah. Leicester side sounds like a murder, like fratricide.
Committed Leicester side.
I've committed Leicester side.
Martin O'Neill's interested in a number of...
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's sort of police code for something Jamie Vardy's done. Yeah.
It's another Leicester side,
involved.
Guys.
Well, yeah. Speaking of Jamie Vardy, by the way, I mean, obviously, Rodgers deserves amazing credit what he's done, and it's just a couple of things that have gone under the radar with Rodgers, like how Soyuncu's been so good.
Yeah,
like, I think he's played almost every minute. Yeah. I'm fairly certain he's played every game.
Him and Johnny Evans.
They lost a central defender for 80 odd million, and no one's even worried about it now. You know, Johnny Evans, who I mean, he looks brilliant. That header,
yeah,
it's probably my favourite header of the season. Mm. It's a brilliant header, technically so good. But Jamie Vardy. I just thought I'd chuck this out there because I think it's something that I know we talk a lot about the career path he's had, but I think sometimes it is worth putting it into perspective. He's 4 goals off the 100 Premier League goals club. He's at 96 now, which is, you know, which is bigger than it was, but it's still quite an exclusive club.
Yeah.
He didn't sign for Leicester until 5 months before his 26th birthday.
Yeah.
He didn't play in the Premier League until 4 months before his 28th birthday.
It's amazing.
And he's probably going to have his best goal scoring record this season of any season. Mm-hmm. He'd be 33 in January. I think he's got 16 in 16 or something this season.
Different class.
I tell you what, chuck it into further perspective. People would generally acknowledge that Didier Drogba is a Premier League great as a forward.
Yeah. Goal scoring, not so much.
For what he represents for Chelsea.
Yeah.
And the period they went through. Vardy's going to blow Drogba's scoring record out of the water.
Yeah.
And that's decent. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's an incredible achievement. He's an absolute anomaly. He's my favourite player. He's absurd. He's a national treasure.
I think he is, Jim, and he still loves a bit of shithousery.
But that's what's so great about it, isn't it? Like with that first goal, you thought, he's fluffed that. Oh no, he's actually put it away, and now he's using that as an excuse to celebrate in the faces of the Villa
fans.
He
just stood there smiling at them. Stop goading the man.
Oh, my favourite one was when he scored against Palace, and he sarcastically flapped like an eagle in front of their fans.
I mean,
it's amazing.
Just what they should do is the home fans or the opposition fans should sing his name, should compliment him. He'll be like, what?
Yeah. No, he doesn't care. He'll see through that.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I know he's going to be 33. By the Euros.
Know where this is going.
Come on.
Yeah, I know, right?
Just get him on. Just put him on the bench. You don't have to.
He doesn't want to.
Pete, are you?
Well, then he's a naughty boy.
He hates England.
Well, he's a naughty boy, though, isn't he?
He's a naughty boy.
Are you annoyed that we've got Harry Kane at the moment? Because a part of me is a bit like, obviously, it's fantastic having Harry Kane, and the 2 goals he scored the weekend. But part of me is a bit like, I'd love to see Vardy play in front of centre.
The thing is, like, there's no one else like him, is there?
No.
There's no sort of like for like or equivalent.
You have to play in a massively different way between Harry Kane and him, obviously. But
yeah,
but
13 goals in his last 10 games, Vardy, and they've played some teams in that run.
I know.
By the way.
I wonder what he was like at Fleetwood, though. Like, because, you know, he was like 1 million. He was like a record non-league signing or something. Yeah. So he must have been ridiculous.
Yeah.
He must have been so far above. And, like, Leicester were in the Championship then, obviously. Like, to sort of go, that guy is worth 1 million and paying that amount of money out. It's still, you know, he must have been doing something.
It's incredible. That's incredible.
Claude Puel feels a long time ago, doesn't he?
He gave an interview recently. He actually made a few signings, like Soyuncu and one or two others. And I think some... A minority of Leicester fans sort of say he sort of set the foundation for Rodgers to build them, but I think that is a minority of Leicester fans. I think most of them are very happy that he's not there.
Charitable
Rodgers
fans.
Isn't it interesting how Pearson kind of did that as well?
Well, there's and
he's back as well.
Yeah,
presumably he's checking for ostriches around Watford at the moment. But we're going to have big Nige back. I'm excited about
that. It's an interesting appointment. That. I mean, when I say Leicester play some teams in that run, I mean, you know, who can forget when they snuck past Southampton at St Mary's?
Yeah,
you know,
indeed.
While
we were on stage in Newcastle.
That was one of the kind of ones where you thought this could go either way, but they really dug it out.
But you can see what
that platform.
You could see what that meant to Jamie Vardy when he violently celebrated his 8th goal in the faces of the Southampton fans.
Luke, did you feel like your ship came in? We were on stage at Newcastle. Pete's already taken fire from us about his own team. Mm. And the news comes in that Southampton have been beaten 9-0.
It was probably the highlight of the season. You should have seen me on Saturday after Portsmouth got a battling draw against Peterborough.
At home.
Yeah.
Fair enough, yeah. Well, but the thing is with this Leicester side is, they go away to Villa and you think, well, it's very difficult because whoever Liverpool play, you think that they'll win. And for Leicester, you think, you know, if they did draw away to Villa, it wouldn't be that ridiculous. You know, it's not that an anomaly. You wouldn't think, oh my, I can't believe that they've dropped points. And they go there and they win 4-1 and it could have been flipping 7-1. You know, they were phenomenal the way they played. They played a different shape. You know, Rodgers played a diamond formation, which he played a lot of times when he was Liverpool manager as well. Iheanacho comes in the side after.
He's looked good as well.
He scored again. And that's something, isn't it? That Iheanacho, to keep a striker who's very much not the first choice striker for obvious reasons there, for Jamie Vardy reasons, that shows you the mentality and the enthusiasm and the good feeling that Rodgers has in the group, because a striker is desperate to play, and as soon as he comes in, he does his job and he takes it with aplomb. He knows what he's got to do, blah, 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 blah. Those players want to play. And the same way with Guardiola sides, when you have a big squad and you've got some quality on the bench, they want to play. They're not moaning. They look phenomenal.
And you know, you guys said on Friday that Aston Villa are flattered to deceive, and that's absolutely correct.
17th.
It's a good example of this, and the reason they flattered to deceive, I don't think you guys mentioned it, but just to add to it, it's because they score goals, and they have a problem scoring goals. They score quite a few this season, but they don't win.
Yeah.
You know, so that's probably why. And so that is, I mean, they Grealish's goal was good again, but I mean Leicester, they're the second best team in the Premier League. Yeah. I don't think it's close.
Indeed. Oh no, without question. Indeed. I mean, is there any chance of them making a title bid, like a real one?
No.
Of course there is.
But they'll finish top. I think they'll finish top four.
Now Aston Villa are 17th. Who's the team who are 7 whole places above them in the league, sitting in 10th? Their top half. It's Newcastle United.
That
Netflix series being Steve Bruce has really boosted them.
To tell you something.
That's something not very many people will be privy to.
Yeah, I mean, another win for Newcastle United.
Pete's personal collection.
Pete, you mentioned that Newcastle, they raised the game for the bigger teams, which was a fair point. Of course, they got a draw against Man City, but you remember them away to Villa when they were pretty abject. They've beaten Manchester United this season. They've beaten Tottenham Hotspur. But Southampton, not one of the big teams. They've beaten them, and I believe it's been mentioned before, but one has to say that Bruce is doing an all right job.
Bruce is doing an all right job.
Hey!
I would turn on that and we'll move on.
Yeah.
But if you'd watched any of that match, Marcus, your lovely black T-shirt would be covered in vomit because it was fucking dreadful.
What, Newcastle Southampton?
Yes.
How can you say it was awful.
Who could have predicted such a thing? Southampton
need to get out the league because they have been stinking up for far too long.
They've had a terrible
campaign, and I never want to see that football team play.
Listen, they're unbeaten the last three until they face Brucey's boys.
Yeah, exactly. Can I just say a little quote from Steve Bruce here about his players? They are prepared to run a million miles. They are playing for the manager.
That would be incredibly irresponsible.
Is he putting out a cover of the Proclaimers classic ahead of Christmas?
Would it be fair to say if they were running a million miles, Andy Carroll wouldn't make that?
Marcus, can you also entertain the idea? Just indulge yourself for a moment of Steve Bruce having the Christmas number one.
Oh,
lovely,
absolutely glorious.
Maybe, maybe.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, yeah, then.
So, are you sort of? Do you look over at Everton with maybe sort of slight jealousy, seeing them bring a club legend in? Would you maybe want to parachute someone like Alan Shearer in?
just for the last 9 games.
Yeah? Just shore it up.
No. When we talk about Newcastle, all three of us just face Pete and like, what do you think, Pete? He's doing all right, isn't he?
We don't actually want my opinions.
We do. You gave them the other week.
I'll leave now. But look,
all I'm saying is that there was a lot of people moaning about Steve Bruce, understandably so. However, considering what he's working with and blah, 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 they're 10th in the league. Well, we're into December. He is doing all right.
The realisation for him was that he has some quite limited footballers.
Yes.
And so he is playing pretty much exactly how Rafa used to play, just pack the box and hit them on the break. And we do have outlets. We do have ASM and we do have other players who can run at teams. And that does scare. Pace does scare defenders in an age of terrible defending in 2019.
Sam Maximum, he looks like one of the most exciting players in the league when he's at
He reminds me very much of Ben Arfa starting Newcastle. It's just like, oh, something will go wrong. He just won't fancy it anymore and he'll fall out of love. But he seems to be, on Twitter, he seems very much full of the joys of spring when it comes to playing for Newcastle United, and I love to see it.
He's very endearing on Twitter.
He is.
He loves it. He absolutely loves it.
I love how Willems loves darts. Because obviously he's from the part
Dutch,
of the world where, but he just loves darts. I love that ASM just loves retweeting praise. His huge, because every time they play, ASM obviously does his step overs and does, you know, his dummies and nutmegs and stuff like that. His YouTube highlights reel is starting to get like Newcastle United's highlight reel because he's the only one who's doing anything interesting. But that was a more expansive performance of Steve Bruce's team and they looked dreadful.
Yeah.
So, but they still won because Southampton are absolute toilets.
Well, also, John's among the goals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Again, but they're just they're not firing at top jaw, isn't they? So just well, get
Carroll,
out the team.
I mean, Carroll came on.
Carroll comes on and he transforms the team.
Yeah.
He's full of running. He holds it up better than Joe Linton mm-hmm. does. And he can cross a ball. He can pass a ball. He's just busy, and defenders don't like to play against him.
I suppose,
but he just can't stay fit, and that's the tragedy of the whole piece.
If Joe Linton's in there as one of the sort of defensive strikers that we've spoken about before, and Andy Carroll's doing a better job of that. I'd love to see Carroll get a better.
But Carroll's coming on. He came on when they were 1-0
down. Yeah. But Carroll's doing such good work at the back as well.
Yeah.
Because
he's
those
always
teams
been like that, isn't he?
Packing the box, just not letting people get a shot, and they'll just start to get frustrated, and maybe he'll nick a goal. And that's kind of how Steve Bruce has been playing for the last few weeks, and it's been on the whole pretty good.
Sat Maximum's most recent tweet is a gif of a child with a smiley face in a bed, and he's tweeted, "When you remember that you're a Geordie before sleeping, # good night."
Oh,
that's magnificent.
This is a lot of like foreign players stay around Newcastle as an area because they're beloved.
Yeah.
Like it's such a good club. If you're a talented footballer who can do one good thing a match,
make a plea to a big foreign player now. Lionel, if you're listening.
Lionel, if you're listening.
We all know football doesn't work like this, but if they replicate the first half of the season in the second half of the season, they will stay up at a canter.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can we have a word of praise for Danny Ings? Nine goals this season. Yeah. He's doing everything he can to stop Southampton being so terrible.
You're right, actually, because old Dings is...
For that level, he's a good striker, and he's a bit unlucky with injury.
Yeah, but when he stays fit, he's playing for a side who we've talked about their improvement since the 9-0, which they have done, but still scoring goals. And if Southampton were to go down, you'd imagine another side might sort of sniff around him. Because not that long ago, he's playing for Liverpool, wasn't he?
Jules said on Tuesday, I thought it was a really good point, she said that when you're one of those teams down the bottom of the league and you're going up against Southampton... The last thing you want is playing against someone like Ings, who's just an absolute, I think she called him a pest, in the box, just sniffing around. Any loose ball, he can put it away.
As well.
He's a great finisher.
Yeah, he really is. So well done then. But I mean, just one little more mention. Andy Carroll crossing for John Joe Shelby's head. Mm. Peak ramble.
Yeah. peak speller.
Dravka had an excellent game as
well.
He's
getting better and better. But look, they're up to 10th. They're 1 point behind Jose Mourinho's Tottenham, 2 behind Manchester United. And 7 off Chelsea in that Champions League spot.
Dare to dream, Pete.
Let's just leave that.
Alan is daring to dream. I suggest you join him.
It's a Steve Bruce in the Champions League. My God. It's done wonders for his win ratio in the Premier League. My word.
Is this his best job yet?
Yeah.
Come on. We've got to move on, Jim. Yeah. Let's not have that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for emails with PDD.
Just a quick couple of emails. Edward Palmer, wishing you and us the most sincerest of regards.
He sounds like a Victorian thief.
Edward Palmer, he's done it again. He's stolen the jewels. Hi, Football Ramble, as part of your players who play with each other section, which I'm increasingly enjoying. Just thought you might want to know that Yaya Toure is currently playing alongside Ricardo Vaztey.
Wow.
Qingdao Huanghai FC in the Chinese second division.
That's an excellent one.
Big Sam's favourite player.
After they were promoted this year, they must have a bit of cash.
Big Sam will sign Ricardo Vaztey anywhere.
Very much is Nico Cranshaw.
Yeah, I think he is actually. Vaztey is very much as Nico Cranshaw. He's very much is Dion Burton to Jim Smith.
Yeah.
That's another one for the teenagers.
It's almost like when a manager has a demon. Like his dark materials sense.
Yeah.
Do you remember during the Ramble at 2, we spoke at relative length with about Lunch with a Legend, which was Kevin Keegan, Sven-Göran Eriksson and Glenn Hoddle. You could pay a bit of money and eat some dinner, possibly a roast, with some legendary managers. And Freddie went to this.
Bloody hell.
So he's got some information. The three ex-managers sat alongside their fellow man for lunch before embarking upon a truly enlightening panel discussion. Number one, Glenn Hoddle was asked how he felt looking back on his England managerial career. Glenn replied, "Oh, you know, I loved it every second." Before he could finish, Keegan grabbed his mic and unprompted screams into the mic, "I would love it, love it, love it," for some reason.
Oh, God.
I thought he didn't do it. I thought it's Keegan was really...
trying to parody himself number and just two, doing it really badly.
It's like when Hasselhoff found out about himself again, isn't it?
Number three...
I am Zlatan. No, Kevin.
Number three, Kevin told...
Garlic bread!
Kevin Keegan told the well-known Aspria story. He's signing for $6.9 million, don't you know? My assistant, McDermott, great lad, told me he were good at shooting. I said he better fucking be for $6.9
million.
Yeah. No, Kev, he's good at shooting like this. He shot a guy on his farm in Bolivar, and now he has to go to the embassy in London once a week for 3 years on parole. Wow. I didn't even know that story.
I didn't know that.
Classic. Keegan was obviously superseded by the man himself, Sven. Mm. What was Sven doing at the time when he was approached for the England job, you might ask? Sven explained, I was on holiday in Italy, minding my own business.
No, he wasn't.
I got a call saying, would you want to be England manager? Keegan has resigned. I asked, are you sure? They're still playing Germany at the moment. Keggy, blunt-faced and unimpressed, interrupted, well, if Phil Neville had tackled like his brother, you wouldn't have got the job, Sven.
Oh dear.
Then they had a punch up and Kevin Keegan punched himself in the face.
Apparently all the way through the meeting, Glenn Hoddle was doing a very important role of poking Kevin Keegan into
Pete, do you have a really keen interest in the idea, or do any of you, that through this dinner the whole time when anyone else is speaking, Kevin Keegan is just shouting out old comedy catchphrase?
I'm surprised because
he's not really that type of bloke. I know the whole kind of I would love it, he hates
you've
that.
Worked with him, haven't you?
But yeah, not, but he's not really that he loves to tell a story, but I wouldn't have thought he would do that. I reckon the whole time though Sven is just sort of polishing his glasses, looking around the room for other interests.
Well, exactly, this is a slightly different thing though, isn't it?
I thought you were going to say targets then, which would have been horrific. Well,
there's no women in the room. But I would,
there's
like
probably some staff.
Jim Campbell.
There's probably some college girls making a bit of money.
If there's estrogen in there, he will sniff it out.
Kevin Keegan's suit is very me, I have to say.
Oh, wow.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
I like a bit of that. It looks exactly
like an actual suit you've got.
Yeah, I've got a few that look like that.
All right.
Glenn Hoddle looks like he's gone shooting. If you want to get to the show, it's showfootballrambledaily.com.
Thanks.
Let's go north of the border because there was a cup final. Celtic won their 10th trophy in a row. How on earth did Rangers not win that cup final?
It's an absolutely baffling set of circumstances. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, Marcus, you probably will be. Morelos, who is Rangers, like probably their best player, he's been linked with big money moves to big clubs around Europe, has played 11 Old Firm games now and not scored a single goal.
That is amazing.
It really is strange because he's scored a lot of goals up there. And of course, for those who didn't watch the game, I mean, Rangers straight from the off looked up for it. And Steven Gerrard has drilled them this season. Last season, they were still a bit off the pace, of course, from Celtic. And Celtic won the league quite handily because, you know, it was still essentially Rodgers' team.
They did a better fist of it than maybe people expected.
They did. And around Christmas time, or was it in the new year, when they won, they beat Celtic, was it 1-0 at Ibrox? To go sort of 4 or 5 points within them, something like that. Rangers fans were thinking, hang on, is this the season? Of course it wasn't to be, and Celtic won another domestic treble and Neil Lennon got them over the line and won the Scottish Cup and so on and so forth. Rodgers is now gone, which Rangers fans will be very pleased about because his Celtic side was superb. This season, Gerrard is demanding perfection from Rangers. You can't slip up. Now, they drew away at Aberdeen the other week and they threw away a 2-goal lead. And so they're a couple of points or whatever it is behind Celtic. But this final was, according to some of the reports and what you hear, Celtic fans are actually a bit worried. They're thinking, is this the time actually? Because Rangers have been waiting for this. It was the first cup final between the two of them since 2011. And straight from the off, Rangers were first to every ball, snapping into tackles, blah-de blah-de blah. They should have gone in ahead at half-time. And I thought to myself, Celtic will be loving this because second half, you bet your bottom dollar, they'll bring on Eduard, who was on the bench, not fully fit, and then they'll take over. But it wasn't. Rangers were still at it. And you thought, flipping heck. And then, of course, Celtic, one shot on target. They go out the other end and score. It's a beautiful finish from Julian.
And they immediately got a man sent off.
And then 5 minutes later, so I thought to myself, there is, well, and it was a correct conviction as it would turn out, there's no way Rangers are going to score now. Yeah. Fraser Forster, I mean, third choice England keeper?
As soon as they went down to 10 men, and he had Forster to have a brilliant game, and he saved everything, including the penalty.
So it's 5 minutes later, Rangers get a penalty. It was Morelos himself who was brought down. Frimpong sent off. He's only 18, a little bit inexperienced. And then normally, what's his name? Tavernier, the Rangers captain, takes the pens. But I think he's missed three this season. So he
hands. I've been to Tavernier. Is it Tavernier?
Oh, you might be right. Yeah, sorry, I could be wrong there. Yeah. Forgive me.
We'll know.
Yeah. And the right back. And he gives the ball to Morelos, and you think, surely this is the moment. And big Fraser Forster just.
The thing about Alfredo Morelos is that, for those who don't watch Scottish football closely,
but he's a dirty bastard.
Absolutely mad. He got sent off about 48 times last season.
And he should have been sent off about twice in that final.
And you normally, exactly, but you'd normally expect that to a player to just be an absolute thorn in the side of Celtic.
Yeah.
But he never scores. And that penalty he took was really tame as well.
I think like Scott Brown is just like his kryptonite.
Yeah.
Although he seems to be kryptonite for every other team.
Including
player
himself.
Scott Brown's an amazing specimen, isn't he?
He'll still be... Yeah, it'd be the cockroaches and Scott Brown left.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That kind of, but I mean, an incredible win for Celtic. How they never really looked like.
But it's all to play for in the league this season.
Well, but I wonder though, because we haven't really talked about Scottish football that much this season. Hearts lost to Motherwell and they're doing shite, so there we are. But
one of those two events are related in any way.
I wonder if looking at this game that may be. I think this might be the catalyst because Gerrard will go in that dressing room and think, and he'll say to his players,
"Remember this feeling.
Don't feel like this again." Yeah. And I wonder actually. Yes, Celtic have won that cup final. Of course they have, and they will celebrate that more than they normally would a trophy, especially a League Cup trophy. But I wonder if actually this is the start, and I wonder if Gerrard and his men for the next Old Firm game that they get the win and they actually...
It's just after Christmas and it's at Celtic Park. It's the 29th of December.
Yeah, I just wonder actually if the tide has changed, even though they lost that cup final. But we shall see. Mm. We shall very much.
Certainly a narrative, Marcus, you'll be happy to.
I just think it was just great to see another Old Firm final. I know it's a great spectacle. I know other teams in the league have
been. It's not that long ago, three or four seasons ago, perhaps, when people were saying, you know, this could be the most one-sided Old Firm game ever. Rangers are essentially a glorified pub team. So Gerrard's done a brilliant job.
He has.
He has.
Just absolutely. A great battle. I did enjoy it.
Speaking of battles. Have you seen what's going on in the Fantasy Premier League?
What?
No. What's this?
This is absolutely amazing. So there's a guy who is very, very close to being top of the Fantasy Premier League, who is also the world chess champion.
Hang on.
Is this Norwegian guy?
Oh, Magnus Carlsen.
Magnus Carlsen.
He's counting cards.
That's absolutely right.
Hang on a minute. So I know who Magnus Carlsen is. He's one of the, I think he's the hardest rated chess player ever.
Yeah.
He was modelling for G-Star Raw.
He's a model as well.
So yeah, he's a 29-year-old chess champion model.
And he's brilliant at Fantasy Premier League.
He's also brilliant at Fantasy Premier League. He's third in the world at the moment. Yeah. And apparently it's quite...
Jules Breach is first.
apparently there are quite a few chess players that sort of that do very, very well in it. It's quite... Mm. Specifically Norwegian chess players. So if there's anyone you want to be jealous of today, make it Magnus Carlsen. Apparently the man can do absolutely anything.
I
love that. I love that seems to correlate.
Get involved, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Oh, yeah.
Nerd. By the way, speaking of Loro.
Enjoy your Fantasy Premier League, Poindexter.
Yeah, speaking of Loro, nerd. You know Loro's the famous nerd.
No. Geeks, wasn't it?
Geeks, that's it, geeks. Oh, yeah. Right. Loro on the Football Focus on Saturday. I don't normally see it, but I caught it this weekend. Did you see this?
No.
Right. Have you heard of the film Wayne's World?
Yes, of course we have.
1992.
On this podcast, of course we have.
Have we heard of Wayne's World?
People listening might not have heard of it. Wayne's World is a film that came out 27 years ago, okay? And one of the quite zeitgeisty 90s catchphrases of it was...
Be excellent to each other.
No, it was they would say, really sarcastically, "Oh, Pete, that's a really nice jumper," for example. Not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the thing, right? Yeah, it's the most 90s thing ever. Mark Lawrenson is still doing that on TV. He did it on Saturday on Football Focus. I can't remember
Man
the exact
defending.
Point.
They're going to win the league.
No. It was about... Oh, no, that's what it was. They were talking about VAR, obviously. And I think Micah Richards was on the sofa with him and explained kind of explained like a VAR situation. Mm. And Laura was like leaning quite camply on the sofa. And he just went to Dan Walker. See? Clear as mud, isn't it? Not.
That's not as egregious.
That doesn't make sense.
That's a sort of double negative.
Yeah, exactly.
Ay, caramba.
Don't have a cow, Pete.
Did you see the stags at Fort William? The Fort William football team could not train because there were stags running riot on their field. They just can't catch a break. What?
The animals, not yes. dickheads not getting married.
Or Mansfield Town, of course.
Yes, of Nick course.
Says. But I did see this, and I think when people have a pop at Fort William about them being bad, and I know they've been sort of slightly improved recently, they're not fully appreciating the kind of odds that they're up against.
Yeah.
Like wild animals with massive antlers parading across their training ground.
The animal kingdom are
against
them.
At Cobham.
No. Not it? Done it.
Certainly not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Love that. Love
no
that.
Stags at Cobham since old John Terry moved on.
The less said about that.
I don't even know what I mean by that, but right. I think you guys will understand.
Yeah, I think we all do in a way. Former dad of the year, of course. Right, ladies and gentlemen.
Sponsored by Daddy's Sauce.
Which is
far too vinegary for me.
Luke, has been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Pete, has been a pleasure.
Yes.
Jim, has been a pleasure.
Hasn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you for the preview show at the end of the week. Jules and Andy back tomorrow.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Can we get the emails back in the running order, please?
Oh, we didn't email.
Sorry, no, you did. Forgive me, brother.
Sorry? We didn't do them on Thursday, did we? Well, we did them, but we had to cut them in.
Oh, it's still a fine show.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to do them now or not?
There was a lot to talk about as well, wasn't there?
You don't want to do them now.
You don't want to put email? Yeah, we need it. Oh, we do emails every week.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fine. All right, cool.
That'll be an egregious.
You're going to drop them in, are you?
Yeah.
Cool,
okay, mate.
Sorry. Before we do that, my dad has daddy sauce on a roast.
That's poor.
I mean, John would kill him.
Yeah. Let me tell you why it is poor. There's a couple of reasons there. One, just because it's poor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And two, because it's not even the best brand of sauce.
No. And to be fair, the roasts will kill him, not John.
I don't know why.
So what does your mum say when he pulls up the daddy's for a roast?
Oh, she's just used to that sort of thing now.
What's he
he's not splashing it on her.
Dad's pulled out his daddy's for a roast. That sounds disgusting.
Has he got like a utility belt?
No. He uses the bottle it comes in.
You just never see it anymore.
Yeah. Is he having it on the meat or is he having it on the potatoes?
The potatoes, primarily, yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things, I noticed it yesterday. You know, you get so used to certain things.
Yeah.
It's like he beats his tea as well.
Yeah. We're not finished. We've got to do emails.
Get out, Sam, you dirty boy.
Dirty little sausage.
Yeah, sorry. Let's
Ramble Eats. Getting involved.
Ramble Eats.
Would he do that? Say if he went for like a pub roast, would he request sauce?
I don't know. He'd be more likely to go for a carvery. I'll get back to you.
Philosophically, because I'm not against, you know, your mint sauces on lamb, your apple sauces on pork, you know, your bread stuff, your bread sauce on kind of turkey, a cranberry and all the rest of it.
You've spoken more about this than you have Everton.
Yeah. Well, have you seen Everton?
More interesting.
All right. Sorry, Pete.
Sorry. Okay. No, I won't finish your point.
That's gone nowhere. I was boring myself to be honest.
There we go. All right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.